You're listening to Agents of Humanity,
presented by the Nicholas Center,
the podcast that features conversations about being human,
hosted by individuals who just happen to be on the autism spectrum,
produced by Launchpad 516 Studios. Welcome to Agents of Humanity, presented by the Nicholas Center and produced by Launchpad 516 Studios.
New episodes will be available every 2 weeks on all of your favorite podcast platforms.
Join us for each episode as our hosts, who just happen to be on the autism spectrum, talk about everyday life as a human.
Sometimes we'll interview very special people, and sometimes we will have conversations between us.
In the end, we'll always ask the question,
how do you make the world a better place?
And become your own
agent of humanity!
Welcome
to Agents of humanity!
I'm Robert.
I'm Tomas.
I'm Tara.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Amanda.
And today's guests are Sarah and Ben Intonato. The Intonato family is the subject of a new documentary soon to be hitting the film festival scene entitled Rocco Up. The film documents the journey of Ben teaching their autistic son, Rocco, to surf. Over the years, Rocco develops confidence, grace, and remarkable balance on his surfboard. Rocco Up is a true tale of limitless family love, the stoke of community support, and the neuroscience behind our enchantment with water. Ben and Sarah, welcome to Agents of Humanity.
We're so stoked to be here. This is great.
Yes.
Yeah. Love it.
Yes. Yes.
Love the energy. Love the vibe.
Yeah. Additionally, Sarah, you established a neurodiversity consultancy to offer guidance to families with special needs children, and recently became a best-selling author. Again, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. I started writing my book when we were filming the documentary. I never knew I was going to write a book. It just sort of started to come out when I would sit at my computer. And I felt like Rocco's story needed to be told, but I also wanted to give hope to parents, because when Rocco was diagnosed with autism, meaning the people who diagnosed him and the state agencies, gave me a pile of paperwork to do for him. But they didn't necessarily tell me how to be the best parent for him and how to support and encourage his journey, which looked very differently from what I had always expected. And as I learned a lot along the way, and Ben is a great dad, and we were surrounded with great people who supported us, I wanted other parents to know that it's really important that you have tools in your toolbox to manage your stress, to help you be present with your child and love them for who they are. And that allows you to have a great life together. So that's really what my work is about, helping parents to release the stress they might be feeling and parent the child that's right in front of them. Because as you know, if you've met one person with autism, you've met one person with autism. Everyone is so different. And I wanted parents to really ground themselves and be present in their ability to see the specialness in their own children, no matter what challenges they might face.
Thank you. We very much appreciate that.
That's great.
We very much appreciate that.
Awesome.
Can you tell us about your son, Rocco? What inspired the creation of your documentary, Rocco Up?
So Rocco is 14, and he is nonverbal, autistic, surfer, and the story really started about 3.5 years ago when, at a beach, this guy approached me and said, I've been watching you and your son and what you're doing. And I've seen other people surf with a special needs person before, but this seems different. How you guys have been doing it seems different. And I think that someone should make a documentary about this. And I was like, okay. And I wasn't really sure at the time, you know, even if it was something that we should do, but the idea that it would help even, you know, maybe one person, you know, just made it very, very clear that this is something that we should go ahead with. And he is basically, I call him the teacher. The movie really documents him really teaching me, him showing me a way of doing something that was told to us was not possible. You know, we were told, or I was told at least, when I tried to find swimming lessons for him, there's no swimming for him. He can't swim. He couldn't surf. He wouldn't be able to be in the ocean without a life vest. He wouldn't be able to do this or that. And he just went on to show me, just from being in the water with him for, you know, this journey that's, you know, over 11 years and counting, methods that I guess really I haven't really seen anybody else really doing, that not only are showing him, but now showing the world really what's possible. And I think that what the film shows is that there's a part of Rocco which is in all of us, and it's a courage, it's a joy, and it's this feeling of going up, that when you kind of go to someone who would appear to be more vulnerable than you and needs you, and you really commit to kind of connecting with them and wanting to kind of see the best in them, but also believe that they can go to this other level, that in the process you go up. So Rocco's just an amazing guy. And I've always said before he was born, I kind of had these kind of messages coming to me that he would change the world. And I do believe that he is currently and will change the world for the better. And thank you for helping us spread that message today.
We're very glad to do so. Thank you for reading the come on.
Yeah, and I think you guys rock. I think it's really inspiring that you were able to help him unleash that hidden potential. No matter what people told you that he couldn't do, you still believe that he had, mm-hmm. you know, this passion in the world, and you really helped him just face that and be able to accomplish something that I'm sure like means so much to him. And I think that's a really beautiful experience that you've allowed him to have in this world.
I'll also add that part of that came from the fact that Rocco is part of our family, and we always felt he should be included in all the things we wanted to do together as a family, whether that be surfing or mountain biking on a trail. And so when people said, oh, he doesn't have the core strength to ride a mountain bike, we just didn't listen. We just took him with us. And even if we had to start really slowly or modify some things so that he could learn at his own pace, we always just had that mantra. He's part of our family. He deserves to be included in what we're doing, regardless of what anyone else says. And that for me was really the undertone of how we approached a lot of these things. We just didn't listen when people said that he wouldn't be able to participate in those things as well as the rest of us. And we just said, well, let's just see what happens. And, you know, he might have his own pace. Certainly our daughter learned how to surf at her own pace, and Rocco's pace was different, but we always believed that he could. And my mantra is that an individual with autism can do anything if you're willing to throw your timeline out the window. Don't worry about how long it takes. Let them take their time. But if they have the right supports, they are capable. And we've always believed that about him.
Yes, I completely agree.
We were so excited to watch the film when we were prepping for this interview. Thank you for giving us the sneak peek. It was awesome. I loved how you explained how you taught Rocco how to surf.
Can you tell us a bit about how the documentary explores called Blue Mind and how it affects Rocco specifically?
Blue Mind is a theory by Dr. Wallace Nichols that now has a lot of scientific research behind it, proving that when you're near or in the water, it basically has the same effect on your brain as meditation does. So it lowers your stress hormones, it improves performance, and actually lowers anxiety and stress as well. So they've studied this now in athletes, war veterans, as well as business people, all different kinds of people. And they're realizing that these powerful results are happening to everyone across all the different people they're studying. So we see it in Rocco because when he was really low and we didn't live as close to the ocean, we would take him surfing on the weekends. And then on Monday, we would take him to school. And his teachers would say, you know, on Mondays, every other kid comes in kind of sleepy and cranky, but Rocco comes in confident and he feels good about himself. And he's excited to do his schoolwork and he's excited to connect with people. And that's a great example of how being in the ocean had that blue mind effect on him. He felt calmer. He felt better about himself. He was more centered and focused. And that still happens for him all the time when we go surfing together, or even if we're just near the ocean taking a walk together with our dog. He definitely feels supported by that natural process of blue mind. I know Ben will have something to add.
Yeah. And by the way, love that question. Awesome question. So blue mind is about the ocean, right? And basically, you know, you see that part in the movie, right, guys, where I say basically, okay, what's making me feel good? What's making me feel present and my best self? The ocean. So even though Rocco and some of the other children now that we've started to, you know, work with directly or indirectly may exhibit that they don't want to go in there in the ocean, you got to have this kind of belief that what works for you is going to work for them, right? Like we're all one. We're all ultimately the same deep down inside. We're all these beautiful beings deep down inside. And, you know, Rocco, when he would go in the water, he would just, it's like there was, the way I would describe it, guys, is if you took your two hands like this, can you see what I'm doing here?
Yeah.
See my hands?
Yes.
Me and him got like this.
Mm-hmm.
That was us in the water. We came up with this Rocco method and this kind of concept that we call nature presence love. And the idea is that you don't just need the ocean. You can go anywhere where you can feel present, where you can feel almost like, even if this is yourself, like if you're having one of these days where you don't feel like you're here, or your head is, one part of your head is over here and one part of your head is over there. Have you guys ever felt like that? I know I do sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah. Right, guys. Right. Yeah. I get that. Uh-huh. So, but when I go into nature, guys, I feel like I'm like one solid object again. And I wanted people to be able to do that no matter where they lived, or, you know, maybe they're not a surfer. Maybe they're not comfortable with the ocean, but I wanted something that can spread across the whole world and help people. And part of that, the first step is for actually the parent, not the special needs child, but the parent to go into nature. Find your nature, whether it's a hike or the woods or something. Get yourself present. Get yourself to be this whole present being again, where your heart is really, really opened. And then when you're approaching and when the love is able to flow, that way when you go back to your special needs child or your special needs friend or whatever, you have an open, present mind. And that's when the connection, that's when the relationship really, really starts. Nature is out there. It's just waiting to help us, no matter where you live, whether it's the ocean, it's waiting to kind of help you become whole again, become present again. And it's a big part of the, ultimately, the Rocco Up method.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah. And
yeah. Yeah.
You guys
all got to come out to Montauk and we'll do a little nature presence love time.
I definitely agree with that. I feel like I have so much peace when I'm in nature.
That is so, so cool.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Like I said, this parallels my experience vacationing on the Jersey Shore a little bit because the water there really calmed me down.
Yes.
Feel like being in the water, it has a really calming effect. And your son's story parallels my own experience, my own childhood in the ocean, I feel. And it's incredible the calming effect that water can have both on the mind and body. So I completely agree with that. So Tara?
How many years has Rocco been surfing for? And where is his surfing level today? Do you still help him?
Well, he's been surfing since he was 2. So I guess that's, 12 years now. And, you know, really, honestly, what I would say is that the one thing I really like about our story also is that I'm not a very good surfer. It's not like I'm some amazing surfer, so that's why I was able to do this. And Rocco himself will have kind of ups and downs where, you know, even recently, it's almost like all of a sudden he kind of was like afraid of certain things that he wasn't before. And then we figured out a way to, but that process even, that would seem like a setback, I realized that, oh, this is actually happening to teach me another thing to help other people, because everyone's going to have setbacks. You know, like, guys, have you ever been like doing something and, you know, you're doing a good job with it, and then like you feel like you have like an off day or an off week?
I have that sometimes.
Yeah. Right. Me too. Right, guys. So we can all relate to this, and that happens to Rocco too. And it's just, it's an opportunity for all of us. Our challenges ultimately are an opportunity for us to overcome them and then to say, okay, that's a growing experience. Now, to specifically answer your question, where is Rocco out? He still goes out with me, but he's more independent than ever. He's using his arms more to paddle into a wave. Last summer was his first official self paddle, where he actually did the paddle motion to paddle into a wave. And then catch it himself. You know, Rocco is an example for all of us to see that, you know, what he may be doing out there may seem kind of more simple than others, but really for all the challenges that he's had to overcome, it's really pretty miraculous. And one of the things that I think that the movie shows is the effect that that has on other people. When you see someone who's not just progressing, but has the challenge. And they would see it. They would see days when, you know, they would say, is Rocco okay? You know, they would see him, you know, on the beach. Maybe he was upset about something, and us working through that. And I realized that that can be just as inspirational as the accomplishments, the times when things aren't going perfectly. So there's just so many great lessons to learn from the, feel very, very grateful that Rocco has shown us.
I love that you said that.
Yeah, right, guys? We can't just be all focused on what we did that was great. We have to also say, you know what? Maybe I'm feeling a little weird today. Okay, I'm going to figure out a way to get myself feeling awesome again. And then I'm going to take a note of that, how that process worked, and expand on that. And then maybe when I see one of my friends not feeling super awesome, I'm going to say, hey, guess what? When I wasn't feeling super awesome, I did this. And that in itself, that's part of being Rocco up, right?
Yeah.
I also want to highlight something that Ben said that I think is really important, is that Rocco's not always in the mood to surf. Sometimes he is, and he can't wait to go. Other times he's not in the mood, but after surfing, he feels better. That's just like me, not always in the mood to do yoga or do my exercise, but after it's over, I feel some better. So I think that's a really important thing. There's nothing wrong with someone because they're maybe feeling nervous or tired or not wanting to do that activity that helps them. But after you do it, you're glad you did it. And I think remembering that is very empowering to get through those hard moments.
Rocco got some mad skills in the movie. It looked like he was flying on that surfboard. Jason?
It must have felt amazing the first time you saw Rocco surf by himself. Can you tell us about that moment?
The way I would describe it is, have you ever felt like every single cell in your body was happy in that moment? And that you were exactly doing what you wanted to be doing in that moment? Times like 100,000. That's how I would describe it.
Wow.
That's awesome. It's amazing what you and Rocco have been able to accomplish. It would be cool to learn to surf one day. Back to you, Tara.
Outside of surfing, can you talk about Rocco's growth over the years from a learning and communication point of view? Was learning hard for him when he was small compared to now? And how have you all gotten better in communicating?
I love that question. I'll take that
question. Great question.
Rocco is really making huge strides in his communication because his speaking is limited. Although, interestingly enough, now at 14, he's saying more words than ever before, which is great. He communicates with an AAC device, an iPad, where he can use pictures and also typing. And I actually got certified in rapid prompt method to help him learn and communicate with spelling. And so now he's able to spell more and more. And this is important because Rocco's always loved learning. He's always been able to learn, including reading and spelling. And he has a really absorbent mind. He loves to learn. It was hard for him to show people that he was learning and to communicate with them how intelligent he really is. So now that he has a wider variety of communication modalities, people around him now understand how smart he really is. So it's also very helpful that he's in a great school now that really empowers him and encourages him to not only learn, but be part of the community and experience the social learning as well. So he's in a really good place. And we're really proud of all he's accomplishing every day.
Nice.
Aw. That's very interesting.
Yeah, I just want to add that Sarah is just, she's just amazing. You know, in this film, obviously, you know, it focuses a lot on, you know, our journey in the water, but there's a part of that movie that really, really needs to be emphasized, that none of that could have taken place without, you know, the work that Sarah does before that brain work. So important.
Cool.
Absolutely agreed. It's very impressive.
Indeed.
Fantastic.
Everything in the film was actually really impressive.
It's great that you have seen Rocco grow up so much. Everyone learns and communicates differently. So it's good to have different methods. I learn best by taking down notes, Tomas.
Same.
What was the process of filming like? There were lots of cool shots. Did you use any drones for those?
Yes. In fact, we didn't know, but our director, when he got the drone to take the drone shots, had to get a license with the FAA because apparently a drone means you have to comply with aviation regulations. So he had to do all that just to shoot the drone shots, which came out beautifully. And Ben, can you add to what the filming process was like for you and Rocco? I mean, they filmed in the water, they filmed under the water. They did all kinds of different things to get the right shots.
Yeah, I mean, this is such a good moment to just give a really big thank you to, you know, the filmmaking crew, John Madeir, Ruth, the producers, Kevin and Don. You know, one thing that's really important to note is that when John started this project, he was doing this totally for no money whatsoever. It was just something that, you know, he was inspired about. And I think that he really deserves a lot of recognition for doing that. And I think that the process, part of that process was that when the pandemic hit, it was kind of an interesting thing that we all kind of got focused and being in Montauk more. And I think that John had the opportunity to really capture even more of us. And then the film became something much bigger, I think, than even it was ever thought of that it was going to be. He was able to see, you know, some of you can see a little bit of us in the winter. Really kind of, I think he got to know the family more. And I would say that then he got into the drone. And I mean, there would be times when I would have been doing surfing with Rocco all day, but John always wanted to shoot at when the sun was going down a lot of times for the lighting. And, you know, I would be like totally exhausted. But again, just Rocco and the spirit of John and, you know, Sarah and everybody really uplifted me to just say, okay, let's do this. Let's just keep going. And I just knew that something really special was happening with documenting this. And it's just been such a joyous process, and it still continues to be.
Very cool.
That's nice.
I love movies. Do you think you'll make one more one day with updates on Rocco's story or any other stories?
I keep saying that we need a sequel now that Rocco's doing more and more by himself. And I've realized there are a lot of important stories that need to be told. So I'm very hopeful that Ditch Plains Productions can find more important stories with autism being the root to tell and share with the world.
Cool.
That will be great.
Over to you, Jason.
Thank you, Tomas. Surfing is clearly a big part of your lives. But I want to ask about your family's other hobbies. What did Rocco like to do when he was too young to surf? And what does he enjoy doing now when it's not surfing season?
Well, in Montauk, we surf all year long, even in the winter. So it's always surfing season if there are waves here. And sometimes there are not. Rocco loves to ride his bike. He and Ben go on bike rides, even in the rain, even in the dark. He loves to go hiking. He also loves music, loves all genres of music. Can't get enough of music. It's one of his favorite
house music.
Things. Specifically house music, but he also loves classic rock. We'd love to take him to more concerts, as a matter of fact. And when he was too young to go surfing, we had him swim. He learned how to swim. And same thing, learned how to ride a bike. It might've been, you know, a little bike with training wheels, but we've always just empowered him to believe that he could do anything, no matter how old he was. So those are some of the things he likes now. Music is definitely a big hobby that he loves. And he loves to read. He's always loving to read a book when he needs some quiet time.
That's cool.
Nice.
This makes me feel happy.
Me too.
Makes me happy too.
It's great to have multiple hobbies. For example, I love to sing, but when I'm not able to, I like to play with my dog, Mochi, instead. Robert?
Sarah, I also see that you are a yoga teacher. Has Rocco ever done yoga or meditation with you? If so, how has it helped him?
Yeah, great question. Rocco and I do about 10
great
minutes
question.
Every night. And he loves yoga. Now he asks to do it with me. If I'm busy doing dishes or something, he'll go get out the mat and roll it out and bring me over to it. And it helps him to be calmer after school and in the evening. It helps him to stay more regulated in his body, to feel less stress. It helps him to sleep better. We do it after school in the evening. And it makes him feel good about himself because he's doing all different types of yoga poses that help neurological organization and help him to feel centered, literally. It's also helped his breathing. And I've noticed even recently when we were in a situation where he was being tested for different types of evaluations, he was taking a few moments before answering a difficult question and taking some deep breaths. And even the neuropsychologist who was evaluating him noticed. She said, oh, look, he's doing his calm breathing. I said, yeah, he is. He loves it. It helps him. So even 10 minutes a day is really important for grounding yourself and centering yourself and making sure that life doesn't stress you out. You want to go through your day feeling joyful and confident and peaceful. And yoga has really helped Rocco and me to do that.
Nice.
Cool. That's inspiring.
Yes. Very, 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 very cool. I actually do a lot of meditation as well. I listen to a lot of like white noise, air conditioner noise to relax, actually. And it really does help me with anxiety and stress. So yeah, I agree with that too.
Great.
I listen to the self-love mantra that I can send you guys. I really recommend it.
Nice. On that note, Ben is a big surfer. Sarah is a yoga teacher. How important is exercise and physical activity to your family? What would you say to others about the importance of being active and how a healthy body leads to a healthy mind?
Oh, goodness. I could teach a whole semester on this topic, but to say how important it is cannot be emphasized enough, because your body and mind are always working together. They're always connected. And when your body is strong and healthy, your mind can be calmer because it's not as distracted thinking about how sick you feel or how much pain you're in or how you're not sleeping at night. So having a healthy body actually gives you more peace of mind. And our daughter, Rocco's sister, they're one grade apart in school. She's on the swim team here and she surfs as well. And we see even with her that she might come home from school feeling tired and stressed out. And then she goes to swim practice and comes home and she's relaxed. She does her homework, gets ready for bed. It feels different. So for anyone, I would say, if surfing isn't your thing, that's okay. Go take a walk, ride your bike, play tennis, do something that helps you to feel like you're moving in a joyful way. And you'll feel different on the other side of it.
Interesting.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah. Couldn't agree
that's
more.
Great. It's very important to stay physically healthy. I try to stay active by going to Planet Fitness. It helps me learn to exercise more.
Nice.
Excellent.
Yeah, Sarah? Go.
Excellent indeed.
What do you hope people take away from this film?
I think that every person on Earth is going to have moments when they may feel like things are very, very hard for them, and they may feel like they're having a challenge. And I hope that the film shows people that there's another side to that, in that your challenges can also bring you to a higher place, ultimately, from what you can learn from them. And I hope that the film also shows people that our special needs community is a gift to this earth. And the more interaction that we can have with them, the more that they can teach us how another way of really kind of being just amazing, amazing human beings and having to focus more on this key thing that we talk about, and that's presence. When I'm with my son, because of his quote unquote challenges, I can't be on my cell phone anymore. I have to be so, so focused. And man, the more I think about it, it's like, thank you. Thank you for taking me off of my phone. Thank you for showing me what you can do. There's just so much inspiration to gain. I hope more people watch this movie and want to look up more about the Rocco Up method and the tools and Sarah's book and what we wanted to show people ultimately is that there are specific ways of changing what you may think is going to be a very, very tough life or a tough challenge. Sarah's book the Rocco Up method and the film, I think, hopefully give people concrete like tools, like a tool in a toolbox to use. I'll just end this by saying that, you know, I remember that when that people used to say to me things like, don't worry, like, you'll be okay if you're having a tough day. And I'd be like, well, what does that mean? Show me what to do. I think that the movie is the first step of a much larger toolbox that we're forming to give people tools, actual things on, here's what you're going to do. And we're here for you, and you're not alone. And together, we're going to go up.
Nice.
That's very interesting.
Amazing.
Thanks, guys. You guys are amazing.
Thank you.
You're the best.
So are you. You're the best.
So thank you so much for coming, for being our guest today on this podcast. Rocco seems like an amazing kid, and we really love getting to hear more about him and the film. Hopefully, we'll actually get to meet him one day too. We call ourselves the Agents of Humanity because at the end of the episode, we always ask our guests, how do you feel you make the world a better place? How do you feel that surfing makes the world a better place? Or they think. Or how do you both feel you make the world a better place?
I feel that everyone can make the world a better place by being the best version of themselves. So if you need to heal your body and your mind by going to Planet Fitness, going surfing, or doing yoga, do that first. And then go into the world with your best self and help someone else. But you can't pour from an empty cup. You can't go help someone else if you have nothing to give. So it's so important to care for yourself on every level. And then in the world, you can do amazing things. And that's something that I live by. And that's something that I tell every person, every parent to a child with autism, every person with autism, take good care of yourself first, be your best self, and then go change the world with that positive energy.
Yep.
That's right.
That's cool.
Yep.
Yep.
I tried to make the world a better place this week by recycling. What about you, Tara?
That's great. I tried to make the world a better place by just being myself and being a good person.
Okay. Oh, I loved it.
Thank you, Jason. Cool.
Very nice, guys. That's all for today. Thank you again, Ben and Sarah, for coming on.
We will be right back.
This is George, Fred, and Jason, the co-leaders of Speak, interrupting to say that we hope you're enjoying this episode, but please make sure to check out our new show, The Speak Podcast, another great show produced by Launchpad 516 Studios. New episodes available every 2 weeks on all of your favorite podcast platforms.
Each Speak talk is about 6 to 10 minutes in length, and the talks are given in storytelling format. There are 3 key moments in each Speak talk: the moment of truth, the moment of transformation, and the moment of impact. We host pop-up events all over the world, and now we're bringing our talks to your device.
Join us on the Speak Podcast as our speakers step onto the stage and into the spotlight with impactful ideas and stories.
We'll let you get back to the show you were listening to, another great podcast from Launchpad 516 Studios.
You're listening to Agents of Humanity, presented by the Nicholas Center and produced by Launchpad 516 Studios.
So, hello and welcome to this Agents of Humanity after show. Today's guests on the podcast were Sarah and Ben Intonato, who had very interesting things to say about meditation, surfing, and how it helped their nonverbal son, Rocco. It was very insightful to hear about
how blue mind worked and how the water can calm down the mind and help Bermeda and help Bermeda adaptation purposes. It is very inspiring to hear about Rocco's story and about how his parents helped him through it.
Yeah, thanks for starting that off for us, Robert. So yeah. I want to ask you guys, since, you know, the main focus of the podcast was talking about Rocco and his passion for the water and for surfing and how it calms him down. Do you guys feel like the water calms you down? And if so, how?
The water calms me down by just, like, starting to, like, if it's hot or not, it, like, it helps me get used to it, like, adapt to it more.
Well, when I hit the water, I never come out, but that's possibly true. So, water, I think water's a good source, like, to drink from the water pitcher. I think water smooths the body and soul, or something like that.
So, how do you feel when you get into the water?
I feel refreshed. And calm.
Nice.
And just being myself.
What about you, Jason?
Well, I always stay calm and cool at ice. I like to get in the water because I like to swim.
So you like going to the beach and going in the waves and swimming in the ocean?
Yes.
Nice. Robert, can you tell us about your experiences with the water and the ocean?
Well, my experiences with the ocean is vacationing in Long Branch and Seabright, New Jersey with family. It does very much help me and does allow me to feel very calm and at peace with myself, the ocean. It invigorates the mind. You focus in the water because you can't use a device. You just have to be present there.
Oh.
It helps the mind a little bit.
Can't you exercise in water?
Yeah, you can also do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that?
Nah. I usually see it at the YMCA and all over.
Nice. Also, is there anything that has always calmed or soothed you guys since you were a baby? And if so, what?
Strangely, air conditioning noises. I always love the summer because that means we can put an AC in and it can calm me down. So air conditioning noises helped a lot.
For me, when I was a baby, I guess maybe like probably music, because that's always helped me.
Play with toys that make music. My favorite one was that Fisher Price popping toy. Every time you run it, and you yeah, that noise. And I also had many stuffed animals. Jason,
I do remember. When I was a baby, when I used to watch some of the best Sesame Street videos, It made me feel so happy because it was owned by a Sesame Workshop. And my favorite character from Sesame Street is Big Bird.
Didn't you watch Barney too when you were small? That used to tell me.
Yeah, he's a purple dinosaur.
Yes, purple dinosaur indeed.
Yeah.
Nice, guys. If you had the opportunity, would you want to learn how to surf?
It'd be too scary.
I'm not athletically inclined anymore, so I probably can't learn how to surf, but it would be a nice dream maybe one day.
I've seen people do it at Jones Beach. I've seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes a lot of time and practice. What about you, Tomas? I remember back in the day, I used to try to boogie board, and even that was a little tough for me. So I really give credit to Rocco for, you know, taking all that time to practice and to really become independent with surfing. I think that's incredible. Is there anything else you guys would like to learn with the help of, like, a parent?
I would like to try to learn how to cook, how to use the stove more by myself. I mean, my parents are showing it to me sometimes.
Tara, is there anything else you would like to learn with the help of a parent? So something that you don't know how to do that maybe you would like to know?
I would like to learn how to wash, like, cars. I know the rain does it, but usually when it snows, salt gets on your car. Mm-hmm. That's, like, really annoying.
So, like, a car wash type of thing?
Yeah.
Cool.
I actually asked my mom if car washes like accepts like kids with autism. So she's like, yeah.
Yeah, I could see you having a job like that. That's really cool.
Like every time I passed by a car wash, I was like, oh, I want to try that.
Yeah, nice.
I would learn to work at a laundromat.
Nice choice.
Yeah, this is a place you take your clothes and clean it from water machine to a dryer.
I would like to learn how to play guitar one day.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
And what are the steps you feel like?
Learning the chord and stuff, learning, I guess, the instrumentation needed. It would be very cool, I think, though, to do. It would be a very cool thing to do one day.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Totally.
Overall, it was very interesting to hear about Rocco and hear about how his family helped him learn how to surf, how the methods he helped him to surf.
Yeah, great conversation today, guys. See you.
Thank
next
you so
time.
Much, Amanda.
Hooray!
Bye.
So long!
Kalabunga!
Bye!
Bye.
Agents of Humanity is produced by Launchpad 516 Studios.
Executive produced by George Andriopoulos.
Our theme song, The Neverless Sea Pursuit, is by Bonnie Grace.
Music and sound effects licensed through Epidemic Sound.
Agents of Humanity is hosted with Podbean.
This podcast is presented by the Nicholas Center, a human services agency that's revolutionizing the way autistic people learn, live, and work.
Make sure to subscribe to this feed wherever podcasts are available and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts while you're at it.
Follow the Nicholas Center at the Nicholas Center on Facebook, at Nicholas Center on Instagram, and at Nicholas-Center on LinkedIn. Visit our website, tncnewyork.org, for more information, upcoming events, or to donate.
Please make sure to follow all the great podcasts produced by Launchpad 516 Studios.